Chav Dalet Amid Aleph, 2, 4, 6, 8 lines in the bottom of the page, and 24:8-2. No, this is Dam. The Gemara until now is talking like how a slave goes free, you know. So it says, Tana, we learned in the Braisa like this. Yaitze b'shein v'ayiv v'rosh yivorim she'enem chayzrim. This is speaking about a goyish slave, okay? A goyish slave basically works forever. Now, there's certain times the goyish slave is, the master is forced to let him go out free. And the Torah says, if you knock at his tooth or his eye, he goes out free. That's what the Torah says in the Pasuk. So the Gemara says, Tana, we learn in the Braisa, Yaitze b'shein v'ayin. He goes out if you knock out his eye or tooth, v'roshi evodim, or any other limbs, she'enem chazen, that don't grow back, that we do not regenerate. If you knock it out, the Gemara says, if you cut off one of his fingers, he goes out free. So the Gemara says like this, b'shleim b'shein v'ayin, I know that about tooth and eye, Ksivi, because that explicitly says in the Torah that if you knock out his tooth or eye, he goes out free. How do I know that the other limbs, that if you 24 limbs altogether, that you knock him out, you cut him off or whatever, that he goes out free? So the Gemara says, Dumya the Shein Va'ayin, because it's similar to tooth and eye. Ma Shein Va'ayin Mumin Shebagoli. Just like a tooth and an eye is exposed limbs. Ve'enem chayzrim, and they don't grow back. In fact, interesting, Gemara says, if you're not got a baby tooth, he doesn't go out free because it grows back. It has to be a permanent tooth. Avkomumim shebegoli ve'enem chayzrim. The same thing, we liken anything to tooth and eye, meaning any limb, that if you cut it off, it doesn't go back, and it's exposed. In other words, it can be an internal limb. You know, you took out his appendix. That has to be an exposed limb that doesn't grow back. If you knock it off or cut it off, the guy goes free. So the Gemara says, now like this. The Torah says, Shein v'ayin, eye and tooth. But the Gemara says, anything similar to tooth and eye goes out free. So the Gemara says, the aim of maybe not. Because as a rule, let Shein and Ayin be Shnei Ksuvim Mavoyim Ke'echad. Two Psukim that come as one, teaching us the same law. And the rule is, V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Mavoyim Ke'echad Eim Melamdim. Two Psukim that teach us the same din, the Torah means only those two and nothing more. Meaning like this. Many times the Torah will give an example of one case. So then, the Torah means anything similar to that is the same din. But there's a rule that when the Torah mentions two things, and seemingly we can learn one from the other, why does the Torah say only two things? To teach us only those two and nothing else. Because if not, the Torah could have just mentioned one. So the Gemara's questions are like this. The Torah says eye and tooth. Now the Torah technically could have said only one of the two. The Torah says both, which L'chayra teaches us a din, that only those two would allow the slave to go free, and nothing else. So how could this Braisa say that any of the 24 limbs, by the way, the 24 limbs, it's interesting, 10 fingers, 10 toes, and 2 ears, nose, and the male organ. Just besides the eye and tooth, and 24 other limbs. But 20 fingers and toes, 20 fingers and toes, 2 ears, nose, and the male organ. Those are the 24 things. But the Gemara's question is, if these two are, the rule is, shneiks and barm ke'echad e melamdim, so maybe over here the term means only eyes and teeth allow the eved to go out free. So the Gemara says, no, tzvicha. I need eye and tooth. And like we just said, this rule, that when the Torah says two things, it means only those two things and nothing else, is if one could be learned out from the next. But if, like Shein and Ayin, you cannot learn out tooth from eye or eye from tooth, so then the Torah needs to say these two, then the rule is anything similar to it is included. Okay? So the Gemara says, Tzrich, I need them both. Why do I need tooth and eye? We're all the way at the bottom of Chav Dalet Amir Aleph, the last line, or 24A3 all the way at the end. We're about to turn the page. It starts like this. The cost of Shane, if the Torah would have said, if you knock out his tooth, he goes out free. Havamin, I would have thought, of Shane the Cholov, a milk tooth. It's very interesting. The Gemara calls it a milk tooth, but Rashi says it means a tooth, a baby tooth. A milk tooth? Yeah. It's like a funny expression. Why is it called milk tooth?
Because as long as the kid is not weaned, they have those teeth. Once they're weaned off the...
No, we're talking... You're not 5 years old, you knock out the teeth come out.
5 years old,
it's... Yeah, but I don't know. It's very... But the Gemara calls it Shein Cholov. But Rashi says it means... in fact, Rashi does say it's a tooth that you nurse with, which eventually changes. Rashi says, Shiyonigba. Okay. So it's like this. If the Torah said, the Gemara says like this, any of the 24 limbs that you knock out, the Eved Kanani goes out free. So the Gemara's question was, but the Torah says Shein and Ayin, and the rule is when two things are mentioned, it means only those two and nothing else. So the Gemara says, no. Here, we need Shein and Ayin. Because if the Torah would have said, only if you knock out his tooth, I would have thought, even a baby tooth. You know, if you have a baby Eved, and you knock out his baby tooth, I would think then he goes out free. So the Torah says Ayin. So the Torah says Ayin to teach us it has to be a permanent limb. The E calls Rachmana Ayin, and if the Torah only would have written Ayin, I, Avamina, you know, I would think only something shenivra ime, that you're born with. You're not born with teeth. You're born, page 48.
Thank you.
You're not born with teeth, but you're born with an eye. So if the Torah said, if I knock out the eye of an Eved, he goes out free, I would have thought, when does he go out free? Only if you're born with it. But if you knock out his tooth, because he wasn't born with it, maybe he doesn't go out free. So therefore I need Shein and Ayin. Right? I can't learn out, if the Torah would have said Shein, I would think even a baby tooth. So it says Ayin has to be a permanent thing. If it only said Ayin, I would think only because you're born with it. But a tooth you're not born with, maybe not. So therefore the Gemara says, because the Torah says Shein and Ayin, that teaches us anything similar to tooth and eye, the Eved goes out free. Now, what's the uniqueness of an eye and a tooth? Number one, it's exposed, you see it. And secondly, it never grows back. Never grows back. So therefore, if it's an internal limb, it's no good. I mean, it doesn't go out free. In fact, the Gemara is going to say later, if an Eved tells his master, who's a dentist, he says, oh, I have a toothache, maybe you'll pull out my tooth. And the master pulls out the tooth, the Eved goes free.
Really? Why?
Because he took out his tooth. But what happens, to give you an example, what happens if the guy, the master's a doctor, and the guy says, oh, my appendix is hurting, and he takes out the appendix, so then the Eved doesn't go free, because it's not an exposed limb. It's only, like we said, 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 ears, nose, and the male organ.
Exposed and permanent.
Exposed and permanent. So the Gemara says, so what do we learn out from Shein and Ayin? That anything similar to tooth or eye, i.e., exposed and permanent, he goes out free.
It doesn't have to be an act of violence. Even if the guy's...
No, we'll see. The whole Gemara now is talking about this.
Even if he's a dentist.
We'll see in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. Maybe there's another problem over here. The Torah says like this. Kiyaki ish. Here he quotes the whole pasuk. Here. Kiyaki ish es ein avdai es ein amasai. The guy strikes out the eye or the tooth of his servant. And the Torah says, now, remember we learned before this klal upratu klal. This general rule, details, and then general. Right? Now, the din is, if you have a general rule, then details, then general rule, klal upratu klal, the din is the ata don ela ka'ena prat. It's only similar to the detail. If it's klal uprat, if the Torah says a general rule, and then says details, it's only the prat. Okay? So Gemara's question is like this. Maybe the word kiyake is a klal, and shein va'ayin is prat, because the Torah says like this. If you hit, that's a general rule, anything you hit. Then the Torah says details, tooth or eye, and the rule is klalu prat. The din is klalu prat when you have a general rule and then a detail. Ein bechlal el mashe befrat. It's no more than the prat and the specific din. So lechayda, the Gemara's question is, how can you say shein va'ayin includes all 24 limbs? Maybe not, because there's a general rule. Then there's detailed. And the din is, in that case, what's the halacha? You only go by the detail, which is eye and tooth, nothing else. How could we say it includes all the other limbs?
So you can't give him a bris either? That's part of the 24 limbs?
You have to give you an evidence.
Oh, that's a good question.
Somebody else would
do it. You don't...
Somebody else would do
it. Remember the Babbitt story?
Yes.
Oh, it's only if you cut it. The bris is, you're not cutting the limb, you're cutting the foreskin. You're not knocking out the
edge.
The,
it says that, there
yeah, but that's about, it says at the bottom, the whole thing about negoyim. That's why it uses that expression. If somebody cuts your nails, it's not that you cut off the finger.
But that's not permanent.
The bris is also not permanent.
Yes, it is.
No, you can, it technically could grow back if you don't bandage it the right way. Right. Anyway, Zingmar says, Shein va'ayin ein, so maybe it only means ayin tooth, and midach rina no, but nothing else not. Maybe it means only ayin tooth. So Gemara says no, because really there's klal, a prat, and then there's another klal. What happens? At the end it says, lachofshi yishalchenu, that's a general rule, because the Torah could have said, chofshihu. It says, lachofshi yishalchenu, which is another general rule. So then it's klal, prat, and klal. What's the din by klal, prat, to klal? It includes anything similar to the detail. Which in this case would mean anything exposed and anything that's permanent. If you knock it off, it's permanent. So then it's not a problem. But the Gemara says 1 minute. But ima be prat, but there's one detail of the prat that none of these other limbs have. Because the prat is mafurish mumin shebegolui. What's unique about a tooth and an eye? There's three things. We're only mentioning two. That you're born with it, they don't grow back and whatever, yeah? But there's another detail. Number one, mumin shebegolui. It's an exposed blemish, you see it. It's not hidden parts of the body. Batumi melachtei. And once you don't have it, it can't function anymore. Like if you don't have a tooth, you can't chew. If you don't have an eye, you can't see. Right? Now, ve'ena chayzer, and it doesn't come back. So if that's the case, I've called mumin shebegolui, then what would be similar to that case? It has to be three definitions. Exposed blemish, ve'ena chayzer, doesn't come back, and bottom imlachte, it seizes the eved from functioning with that particular limb, right? So the Gemara says, Allah matanya, why did we learn? Tolish biskoni. What happens if the master yanked the eved's beard, get up, that's on the beard, and dildul bayetzim, he dislocated a bone in the jaw. So the din is, it says, Eved Yetzim Em Lecheris, he goes out free. So the question is, according to this detailed rule, it's not, the question of Begoli. A jaw is Begoli. Here's the jaw.
It's inside, it's not Begoli.
No, you can see.
Okay.
A tooth is also inside the mouth.
Okay.
No, but say, the jaw you see. So it says, the guy yanked, the master yanked the Eved's beard, and it dislocated the jaw, the din is, he goes out free. Yeah? But why? It can still function. What's the jaw doesn't have a function.
You can't chew.
Yeah, you chewed your teeth.
Well,
no. It's no, because what's going to happen, the bone will wither and disintegrate. Yeah?
The what will disintegrate?
The bone, if you don't put it back.
Oh, it will?
But what function does the injured bone have? It doesn't use a function. So according to this rule, you shouldn't go out free with it. So the Gemara says, okay, we're changing the answer. L'chofshi yishalchenu is ribihu. Remember last time we learned, there's klal, prat, and klal, and there's ribui, miyut, ribui. There's two ways of learning the Torah. Klal u prat u klal means it has to be similar to the prat, which in this case wouldn't be. But if you learn ribui, miyut, ribui, the rule is...
What is ribui?
General, detail, general.
Oh. Is that different than klal, prat?
Yeah, because... In other words, when you have a... Right, but the din is like this. When you have a general rule,
yeah.
Detail, general. You can look at it as klal, prat, and klal. Or you can look at it in halacha as ribui, miut, ribui. Now, the rule is, if you learn, like, there's an argument, Rabbi Kiva, Nochemish Gamzu, we learned before in the Gemara, different opinions, if they learn the Torah, ribui, miut, ribui, or klal, prat, or klal. Ribui, miut, ribui, if you learn with that way of learning, everything's included, and only one thing is excluded. If you learn klal u prat u klal, then it has to be similar to the prat. If it's not similar to the prat, it's not included. If you learn ribui, miut, ribui, then the din is everything's included, except one thing. So then this price would make sense. Because if you pull down his jaw, I mean, you pull down the beard and the jaw breaks, the bottom line is, it's included. Because it doesn't have to be exactly similar to the detail, it could be general rule. And then that's where it would be included. Sure, is it Rabbi Kiva's Rabbi?
I know, but when he's quoted,
that's sure.
Nachum
Gamzu
or just
Nachum Gamzu? Now, so the Gemara says, 1 minute. If that's the case, you have to include more things. If you're talking about all-inclusive, so then there's another thing to include. What? If that's the case, if the master hits him on the hand, and the hand withered, but is going to grow back, then it should also be included. If you're including everything now, so then that also should make the Eved go out free. Because he hurt his hand. Allah Matanya, why did we learn? He called Yodai. If the master hits him on the hand, Vitsamsa and it withered, Vitsayf alachsa, but it's going to eventually grow back properly, Ein Eved Yesu
Balachedus. Samsa here means broke?
Not broke.
Dislocated?
Like.
But that's not loss of Rosh HaYivarim again. I mean, it's not. He's not losing it.
Yeah, but if you're including Shane and Ayin, to include everything under the sun, except one din, then all this should be included also.
Shane and Ayin is losing Shane and Ayin. It's not if I hurt the person's...
Oh, so 1 second. So that's what really... The Gemara is going to answer more or less. So the Gemara says in Cain, Shane Ayin my Hanalei. If that's the case, why does the Torah say Shane and Ayin? Meaning like this. The fact that the Torah says Shane and Ayin, we include everything. But what do we include? Only things that will not come back. Therefore, if you pull the guy's beard and his jaw breaks, it's not going to grow back, then the guy will go out free. But if you hit him on the hand and the hand's going to heal, then he doesn't go out free. In other words, Gemara says like this. Granted, it's ribui, miut ribui, and we include everything, but you can only include things which are like eye and tooth, because the Torah says eye and tooth. What's pertinent about an eye and a tooth is that it doesn't grow back. It doesn't heal. For you knock out somebody's tooth, permanent tooth, not if you go for surgery, it's not going to go back. You're not going to deny, he's not going to get a new one. It's not going to grow back. So therefore, anything that doesn't come back to its original function is included, that if you do it, the evid gets knocked out, it goes out free. But if you crack his jaw, if it's not going to grow back, it's not going to heal, then you're right, he's going to go out free. But you hit him on the hand and it's going to heal, then he doesn't go out free. So the bottom line of the Gemara is, in this whole talk, discussion, any limb that's exposed, okay, and doesn't grow back, the Eved will go out free. If it's an internal organ, he's obviously not going to go out free, because it's internal. But according to this, if you chop off, God forbid, his leg, he's going to go out free.
So what if the master says keep an eye out for him?
Keep an eye on.
Is the Torah encouraging, discouraging hitting your Eved or encouraging?
Discouraging.
In fact, you're going to lose your Eved.
If you learn three Prokim Rambam, in tomorrow's Rambam, which ends Hilchas Avodim, the last halach of the Rambam in Hilchas Avodim. No, I have things. The last halach of Hilchas Avodim, the Rambam speaks about Eved Kenani, that even though technically you could, not like an Eved Ivri, the halach is you're not allowed to make him, we learned that in the mitzvah, you're not allowed to make him work, degrading type of work. So it says, the Rambam says, even though according to the Torah, you're allowed to have a goyish slave do degrading things, it's not proper, you have to be a mensch, you have to be nice to everybody.
Degrading.
Yeah. Right, so I'm saying the Torah is not, you can't hit an Eved.
So why doesn't the Torah say if you hit him, he's going to go out? Why doesn't
it
have to be so damaging?
Sure it happens.
Why does so much bad have to happen? I mean, I'm just being a sensitive soul right now.
Well, no, if by mistake you knock out his eye or tooth, the Eved goes out free. In fact, the Gemara is going to discuss soon, we'll probably get there today, what happens if the Eved had a loose tooth. And then the master knocked it out.
Whoops. That's a good time for the Eved to start.
No, I'm saying, okay? Or the Gemara says, the guy was blind, but the eye was still in the socket, and then the eye fell out of the socket. Wait. No, the Gemara is going to talk about. So I'm saying, you can have a case. The Gemara is soon going to say a case. The guy screamed. The master screamed. The Eved got scared. Either he went blind. Yeah. The Gemara is going to say a case. Either it goes blind or the tooth falls out. So the Gemara discusses, does he go out free? It's indirect. He didn't do it directly. He did it indirectly. But what happens? What happens if an Eved has a loose tooth? The Gemara is going to discuss soon. Eved has a loose tooth. Yeah. And by mistake, they were working together like. And my mistake, you banged into his mouth,
yeah, that can happen.
And the tooth fell out. Right? So the Gemara is going to discuss, does the Eved go out free? I mean, these things can happen. The Gemara is not saying, knock, just beat him up.
And what if he does want to go out free?
Huh?
What if the tooth...
The Eved has to go out free and is a full-fledged Jew. You can't stay in Eved anymore. Okay. Tan Rabban Rabban Alut. Now,
Why does a Gentile become a Jew just because of this after being
married? Because if you buy him, you own him, and if you own him, he has the obligation to make him into a Jew.
Was this the Noheg after the destruction of the Samaritans?
No, only in the time of Yovel.
So
no, that's Eved Ivri. Eved Kenani was afterwards also.
If Mordechai would have freed Haman would have been a full-fledged Jew.
No, he didn't buy him as an Eved. He said, yeah, but I don't know if he didn't. I don't think he had a din. Yeah, I know, but I don't know if he had a din mamashev in Eved Kenani, that he had a din of a Jew. I don't think so.
And this is not also outside of his show?
Yeah, sure. Okay, Tan Rabban Rabban Unlent. Bekulam Eved Yoytze Lecheres. In any of them, like we said, the tips of the 24 limbs, the Eved goes out free, but Vitzarech gets Shechrur. Now, the question is like this. Once an Eved goes out free, like we said, he becomes a full-fledged Jew. This opinion says, in order for him to become a full-fledged Jew, that he can marry a Jewish woman, he needs to have a freedom paper. It's called Get Shichrur. emancipation document. Divrei Rav Shimon. That's what Rav Shimon holds. Rav Shimon holds, granted the Eved goes free, but in order for him to become, so to speak, a full-fledged Jew to marry a Jewish woman, he needs to have a document. Rav Meir says he doesn't need the document. He goes out free, even if he doesn't have a free emancipation document, he can marry a Jewish woman. Rabbi Eliezer, that quotes another argument. Rabbi Eliezer says he does need a document. Rabbi Tarfin says he doesn't need. Rabbi Kiva, Aymer, Tzadich. The different opinions, Gemara is quoting, if you need the document, you don't need the document. Then the Gemara concludes, Hamachrim, Lefnei Chachamim, Aymerim, the rabbis that are the deciders when there were arguments, what did they rule? Nirin Rabbi Tarfin, B'shein V'ayin. Rabbi Tarfin, who says you don't need a document, is only right if you knock out his tooth or his eye. No, no, no. Only those two limbs, because the Torah clearly says those two limbs. By all the other limbs, granted the Eved goes free, but you need a document for him to become a full-fledged Jew.
Oh, I see.
So the Gemara makes, because there's two opinions. Do you need the document? Don't you need the document? So what did they rule? Compromise. When it comes to eye or tooth, then he doesn't need a document to be free. As soon as he knocks it out, he's free, he's a full-fledged Jew. By all the other limbs that he goes out free with, you need to write the document. The Gemara says, why? Hail the Knas Chachamim. Because it's only a fine by the Chachamim that he should go out free. So because of that, he needs a document. So right away the Gemara asks, Knasu? What do you mean it's Knas? Kroy Badashim, we learn now from the Pasuk. Right? Shein and Ayin. Ribuy miyat ribuy. So is that a fine? The Gemara is thinking, because it's a fine if you knock out all the other limbs that he goes out free, but it's not biblical, so he needs a document. So why is it not a fine? It's biblical that he goes out free by all the other limbs also.
Isn't that a fine? What is it?
What so the Gemara says it doesn't mean that. He says, Oil umidrash chachamim hu. In other words, the Gemara says like this. Shein and Ayin. That clearly says in the Chumash. Right? How do we learn out all the other limbs? That if you knock them out, they go free? Because we say, there's a klal, prat, klal, riboy, miya, drip. We learn it out. So therefore, the Gemara says like this. This is what the Gemara is concerned. And this is where Rashi explains it as follows. When the Torah says eye and tooth, nobody's going to make any mistakes. Okay? The Torah says eye and tooth. If the guy knocks out his eye and tooth and the Eved goes free, everybody knows the Eved is going to stay free. Okay? But what happens if you knock cut off his finger? Not everybody knows that din. So the Eved goes free, yeah? But now maybe the master will try to get him back and make him a slave again. And the din is once he's a full-fledged Jew, he cannot become an Eved Kanani again. So over there, we need a document to prove that he was freed. That nobody can come later and say, oh, I'm making him back into an Eved. Why? Because the guy has a document that he's freed.
I just want to make a...
Thank you.
Question?
Yeah.
So, eye and a tooth, everybody says you don't need a doctor. Everything else...
Not everybody says. That's what Gemara rules.
That's the ruling of the Gemara.
Right. Oh, right.
Conclusion of all the discussions.
Right.
And every other hurting, you need a document also.
Right.
Both you go free, but to be a Jew...
To be able to marry a Jewish girl...
You need that. Is it because... The first thing is it because eye and a tooth is just too obvious?
Or no. Because the Torah says clearly. So nobody's going to make a mistake to think, even if you don't know Gemara, okay, even if you don't know Gemara, it's a Pasuk in Chumash. Now, all the other things that we derive from the Pasuk, people might not know. So if the master knocks out cuts off his finger, The Eved goes free. Yeah? Maybe the master will try to get the Eved back again somehow. Because not everybody knows you cut off his finger, he goes free. So over there, the Torah, the Chacham, the Halacha is, you need a document that the Eved can keep. Could he give the freedom document to? The Eved gets the document that he's free. That in case the master will ever try to get him back. So what are you talking about? I'm freed. So that's why you need a document, because it's not so clear.
If the tooth gets half broken, does that
it has to be a full tooth.
And if the eye becomes blind, but it's still in the socket?
We're going to see in the Gemara soon.
The whole tooth, if I think about it.
This Eved can become any type of Jew afterwards. Can it become a Kohen? I mean, not a Kohen. Can become like a can become like a very big shot.
Can become a Chabadnik. Kamesha Torah. I mean, it can be whatever he wants.
He can become a king, but he can become anything.
King else has to be even made Malchus Shev Yehuda. He has a din of a get, basically. He has a din of a get. He can't sit on a bed.
Even if he doesn't know halacha. Even if he didn't, I mean, Gerd Tzedek has to learn what it means to be a Jew first.
This guy worked for the guy for years as a slave. He knows all the laws. Okay, Dan the Gemara says, "My time, Rav Shimon." Why does Rav Shimon? Granted, we don't pass them, but why does Rav Shimon say that the guy needs a document?
Wait, we don't ask him
that.
You said granted, we don't pass them.
Granted, we don't rule like Rav Shimon necessarily, but the question is, Rav Shimon says the guy needs a document of freedom. Why?
Okay.
Why can't he just go out free and then?
Because, like you said, he might make
a no. One second. So he said no because Rav Shimon holds under all circumstances he needs even for tooth and eye. So why do you need it? So Mar says like this: Yalif shiluach shiluach meisha, because by when you give a get to a woman, it says a shilcha mibeisa. The word sending out of the house. And by Eved it says, Lachovshi Yishalchenu. Also the word sending away. So Gemara said, if Shimon says, we learn it out from a woman. We liken the Eved to a woman. How does a woman become free? With a document, a get. So the Eved needs a document. That's it says, Ma Isha Bishtar. Just like a woman is released to marriage, Dafka, when she has a get. The same thing, Av Eved, Nami Bishtar. How does an Eved go out free? Also with a document. So the Gemara says, Rab Meir. So why does Rab Meir say he doesn't need, why don't we learn out an Eved from a woman? And if a woman needs a get, then the Eved also needs a get. So Rab Meir says like this, Iksiv chavshi lebesof. If the Torah would have said, Yishalchenu chavshi, means send them out free, the word Yishalchenu is similar to a woman. That means Yishalchenu means a get. And then it makes him chofshi. Then he becomes free. Here the Torah doesn't say that. La chofshi Yishalchenu. The Torah says he's free, send him away.
Oh.
That means he's already freed automatically that you don't need to send him away with a get.
Kind of like
Mass Evanishman. Right. Havale chofshi is initially freed. And therefore, he doesn't need a get. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. This is the case we were talking about before. Crazy cases. Tanu Rabbanan. The Chacham learned the following then. He called al einai v'sima. The master hit the Eved in the eye. And he goes blind. He goes out free. Al oznai v'chersha. If he hits him in the ear. And he deafened him, he also goes out free.
Even though it's an internal organ.
No, it's not. The ear is an external organ.
Inside.
But the ear, you're making the ear non-functionable. The purpose of an ear, which is open, is to hear. So now it's like blinding. Blinding doesn't mean you knock out the eye. The eye can still be there and be blind.
Yeah, it can be useless. A person could be missing an earlobe and still hear.
I understand. When the Torah says one of the 24 limbs is two ears, it doesn't mean you cut off the ear.
What if that happens?
What?
If you cut off the earlobe and he still hears?
Then he stays. He's not free.
You cut off. You did exactly what the Pasuk said.
You cut off the ear?
No, it means...
The Rosh Hashivam.
The Torah... No, again, the Rosh Hashivam is only about Negoyim. It's nothing to do with this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Now, what happens, though, Neged Einai ve'ein araya. It sounds like this. What happens, the master didn't hit him in the eye. The master gave a zetz on the wall. David was standing near the wall. He gave a zetz on the wall, and the Eved became blind. Kenaged Oznoi, or next to the ear, he gave a zetz on the wall, and he doesn't hear anymore. Like it says here, the loud noise or caused him into shock that he doesn't hear or see anymore. Ein Eved Yetzei Bem Lachedus. He does not go out free.
No.
Because it was an indirect hit. Well, the Gemara is going to discontinue this. But the Gemara says a statement in this Braisa. The Braisa says a statement. If you directly knock him in the head, or you directly pulled his ear, like Thomas Jefferson, right?
Huh?
Thomas Jefferson was deaf. Because his teacher pulled, and the conductor pulled his.
Is that right?
Okay, that's right. I learned in school.
Thomas Jefferson
was deaf.
What?
Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, I'm sorry. Not Jefferson. Thomas Edison. Sorry, take it back. Thomas Edison was deaf because a conductor on the train, this is the way we learned in school,
wow,
pulled his ear and it made him deaf.
Whatever.
So then, that's a direct hit. And then he's free. Knock his eye out, he goes free. But if it's indirect, like you banged the wall and the guy got whatever, and then he doesn't go out free. What means? So Gemara says, Amr Rav Shemin Ravashi, he said Rav Shemin, interesting name. Rav Shemin said to Ravashi, 1 minute, the Memer of the Kolul of Klumi, are you saying that a sound is insignificant? Because how did he become deaf or blind with the sound, the banging against the... Is it nothing? But we learned it then that it is something. But Tani, Rami Bar Yecheskel learned the following braisa. Tana go shoheshit reishi la'aver klis chuchis. Okay, I gotta explain this din. There's a din in the Torah like this. If an animal does normal damages that could be expected of an animal, the owner is liable full payment. For instance, if my dog goes into your backyard and eats your vegetable patch.
Dogs don't eat vegetables.
What did you say?
Sorry.
He planted. And the Torah speaks about an ox. I mean, a dog. Doesn't matter. If the dog does it, if an ox goes and eats in somebody's yard, somebody's farm, yeah? Goes in and eats, the owner of the animal is liable, because you're property damaged. The Torah says, it's a pasuk mishpat. What happens when an ox gores? So then as you pay, the Torah says you pay for the first three times, you pay half damages. Why? It's uncommon. In other words, the Torah says like this. If it's damages that the owner should be expecting his animal to do, and he doesn't take care of the animal, you have to pay full damages. Ox doesn't go around goring people. It's uncommon for an ox to gore somebody. Unless he did it three times already, then it's called a muid. Then the owner should know that the guy is doing it. The ox is doing it. So then as you pay, half damages. Okay? Now there's a din like this. If an animal was walking in the street, and as it walks, it kicked up a stone, and it broke somebody's window. Okay, the animal's walking in the street, minding its own business, not bothering anybody. It kicked up a stone, and it breaks somebody's window. What's the difference? I'm telling you a din on a glass vessel. It could be, by the way, it could be not. It could be anything. Okay? So the machleik is between Sumchas and the Chachamim if you pay full damages or half damages. Okay? Sumchas holds it's you pay full damages. It's Rashi learned over here because
picking up the stone, you pay full damages.
Yes,
the animal.
Pays and the Chachamim say you only pay half damages.
Wait, the Chacham say half, but who says full?
Sumchis, Tana. Says so the Gemara is going to say two cases. One says full damages, one says half, because one is Sumchis, one is a Chacham. What's the case of the Gemara? Sounds like this. Tana go shaheshit reishi la'avikli schuchis. A Tana go chicken, a rooster, puts its head into a glass container. And it crows. What's the expression? It did
crows.
Crows, yeah. So it makes like the rooster crows, yeah. So it makes noise
in the glass,
and the glass breaks. The vibration makes it break. So then is mitzalim nezik shalim, which we said this is Sumchus's opinion, because this is like indirect. This is similar to the case of kicking up a stone and breaking a window. Right?
Or a master banging on the wall, making them go.
Well, one second.
Why is this indirect? I mean, this is what rooster crows.
Did he take the glass and break it?
No.
Okay, so?
Crowing is not supposed to break things. That's what you're saying?
It's not the point. Did the guy directly break the glass?
Yes.
No, he didn't.
The rooster, yes.
No, he screamed.
Okay, so I'm saying it's not the way to break things. Crowing doesn't usually break things.
We'll see. Gemara is comparing it to the case we just learned, so let's wait a second. V'amar Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says another case. Amar Beit Avin, you know, in the yeshiva, they said, Shuv sus shetzonaf, a horse need, which is the sound of a horse. V'chamer shenor a donkey braid, v'shavru kelim v'teich habayis, and they broke the vessels in the house because of their
noise.
Mishal mim chotzi nezik. Which again, first case says you pay full damages of Sumchus's opinion. This, so the Gemara is going to two different cases. One Braisa is speaking Sumchus, you pay full damages. And Rav Yosef says a case, you pay half damages. The bottom line is, do you pay damages? Yes. Right?
For all these cases?
Why? Because it's like, you directly broke the glass. Which means loud noises is not indirect damage.
It's
direct damage. Correct? That's what you see from here.
Yes,
so if that's the case, if the master makes a noise and the Eved goes deaf,
right,
why isn't that called direct damages? And let him go free.
Right.
That's the Gemara's question. You're telling me that if the master made a noise, and because of that, the Eved became deaf, the Eved doesn't go out free. Why? Because he didn't hurt him directly. But so why over here, the noise breaks things, you have to pay. So Amalei Rav Ashi says, no, the Gemara answers a very interesting answer. Until now we're talking about animals. Per people are different. Why? It's a very interesting thing, the Gemara says. Kiven the bardasu, because a person is intelligent, il mivis nafshe. He shocked himself, not the master. In other words, like this. Animals have no brains, no intelligence. So they break something with noise, it's called a direct damage. But when a guy makes noise and a person becomes damaged by it,
the din is
it's indirect damages. And the Gemara said, we're going to see a very interesting din. Kedetani, we learned in the Braisa. It's a very famous Braisa. Amavis is chaveidai. If somebody frightens his friend, you come behind somebody and you scare him. You say, boo. Okay, and suddenly the guy goes into the other thing, becomes deaf because of it. The din is pater medina adam. The court cannot obligate you to pay because it's only indirect damages. But chaya bedina shemayim, meaning morally you have an obligation to pay him, but the courts can't obligate you to pay him. One second. Talk about ozne vecherstei. What happens again if a guy shouts into another guy's ear and deafens him? Potter. He also doesn't have to pay in the earthly courts.
Wow.
But what happens if you grabbed his ear and pulled it and he became deaf? Chayiv, then you are chayiv. So Gemara says like this. You're right.
Is that din? Is
this a din? That's the halacha.
But your voice has physical quality.
When you scream into somebody's ear, you didn't do it. Because the Gemara says, what the Gemara is explaining,
there's something about a person has intelligence.
Because the human being interpreted.
Here he explains at the bottom from the river like this. The slave experienced shock only because his mind focused on the sudden and terrifying sound.
Which is involuntary.
In essence, then, the slave brought the blindness or deafness upon himself, and the master was only a grama indirect.
But can I just ask you a question?
It's not a psychological thing. The eardrums are sensitive to noise.
It's only though.
It's not a psychological.
If you're expecting it, it's not going to make you deaf.
It's not gonna.
No.
If you go into
people hear these rock concerts. I mean, they do go deaf eventually, go deaf. But not right away.
Yeah, it's positive. The eardrum by shock it goes.
You could.
Yeah, but the Kabbalah is saying like this. Because a person has self-control, the Gemara says, he shocked himself. The other guy only indirectly caused you to shock, and the shock caused you to death, to become deaf. Who shocked? You shocked yourself.
I think I would buy that.
I don't.
See, I do. You know why? Because
I'll tell you a little secret, nothing personal.
There are people very sensitive.
Nobody's asking if you buy it or
I
not.
I know, but it doesn't make sense to me.
The Gemara is learning, though. In other words, there's a direct and indirect.
Yeah, but this is something that would make anyone. It depends on the sensitivity. That's what I'm saying. I think that's
what's going on. So, the Gemara's answer is like this. The Gemara said a statement before in the Braisa that if you do a knock on the wall and the guy becomes deaf, the Eved does not go out free. Right? And the Gemara asks an animal that it is direct. The Gemara says, you're right, by animals called direct. By people, it's called indirect. And the proof of it is, if you scare somebody and he goes deaf, the courts cannot obligate you to pay because it's not direct damage. Indirectly, you did it, so between you and God, you know, you have a moral obligation. But it's not a direct damage that the courts can obligate you to pay. And therefore, the Gemara says, if you pulled his ear and he got deaf, the Eved goes out free because it was direct. If you scared him and he got deaf, he doesn't go out free.
Rabbi, modern application, please. Yeah, you mentioned before that...
There's no Avodim today anyway.
I want to... You mentioned before that an animal...
I'll give you a simple example.
I want to know something about this.
Yeah.
About an application. An animal kicks a stone and it breaks a glass, yeah. Right? There's damages either half or
full. Half, right.
You're driving a car. And the car goes over a stone and the stone rolls and breaks the store. Front window. Obligated or not?
Yeah.
Even the car...
In Torah, I'm not talking about secular. How many times do you have... Now they have those protections. The 18-wheelers.
Yeah.
I know. If they wouldn't have a flap.
Right.
Okay. What's the purpose of the flap? Because they do kick up stones.
Right.
Right? Okay. And therefore this... But what happens if the truck didn't have a flap?
Yeah.
Okay? And a trailer is going... Kicks up a stone and breaks the guy's windshield.
I would think
halachically he would have to pay.
Really?
Yeah.
But he
question: half damages, full damages.
It was just a car.
If I break your break your window accidentally,
yeah.
I still have to pay.
True.
Even if when you sleep, if you damage somebody, you have to pay. But let me ask you a question: you're holding a very expensive crystal worth $500. Yeah. I come behind you and say, boo! And you get scared and you drop it.
Tough luck.
No. Was that direct or indirect?
He allowed himself to get shocked according to...
I'm asking you without this Gemara. Is it direct or indirect?
I would say direct.
No, it's not. Indirect. Did I throw down the thing?
You directly caused him to get spooked.
No. I indirectly caused you to drop the thing.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Okay. So I'm not obligated to pay.
Okay. Well.
Again, Bedina Shemayim... morally, I have an obligation, but the courts can't obligate me to pay because I didn't do it. I'll give you even another example. The Gemara in the Bava Kama, in the Kainis, where this vice is mentioned about deafening.
way,
you have an IOU. Yeah. You have an IOU that he owes you $1,000.
Who does?
He owes you $1,000. And you have an IOU note, yeah? Okay? With this IOU note, you can collect the money. Without it, questionable. Okay. I come and rip up that note. Is that direct or indirect?
That's direct.
No, it's not. The Gemara says it's exactly the same indirect.
Wow.
Did I take $1,000 away from you?
You're setting up...
1 minute. Okay. Did I take $1,000 away from you?
In effect, yes.
Direct or indirect?
Indirect.
Okay.
But you did it.
Yeah, indirectly.
Okay, but Rabbi...
So the court can't obligate me. The court can't obligate me. Let me tell you another thing. A guy, you know, years ago, they would have stuff on the roof. Okay, and they would throw it down on top of pillows. You want to throw something? They used to store things on the roof, right? And they want to throw it down to the ground. So what would they do? They would take pillows. And the guy would throw things down onto the pillow. Yeah? So guy's on the roof. And I'm not such a nice person. I go and pull away the pillow. And you didn't see that I pulled away the pillow. One second. You didn't see that I pulled away the pillow. And the guy drops the thing down and it cracks. Does that guy have to pay?
He should.
Legally, not morally. Legally, can the court say you broke $1,000? I didn't break $1,000. I didn't do anything. I took away a pillow. Because of that, you threw something down. What does that have to do with me?
Sir Rabbi, let me please ask you this question. In the example you gave,
it's very problematic.
Wait a minute.
Why is it problematic?
It's very problematic.
It's grammar.
What? In the example you gave, what was your motive for tearing up my IOU?
I hate your guts.
Okay.
What's so the difference?
Rabbi, the Gemara is setting up a situation, it seems, where I could have a
racket. No.
We loaned somebody money.
The Dine Shemayim, though, immoral thing in the heavenly court, you're going to have to pay for it. Okay? By hook or by crook, God will, you know. But legally, the court cannot make you pay for indirect damage.
Very interesting.
Is the one in Rabbi?
Yeah. By the way, if you give me a check, you owe me $100, give me a check, whatever. And somebody rips up the check. Did they actually make you lose $100? No. A check is an IOU note that the bank honors if you have money in the account. The bank honors. It's indirect. There's no direct damages like this.
Tearing up a check is not direct?
No. It's a check is an IOU.
But if it was actual dollar bill, it would be.
A dollar bill is yeah. Then
it's already monetary.
That's monetary, yeah. But a check is basically an IOU note. IOU note. It's not. That's all it is.
Yes, and at the same time, it's your only way of getting your money.
I understand. But the bottom line is, there's a difference between direct damages and indirect damages.
Right.
Indirect damages, the courts cannot obligate you to pay. So therefore, the Gemara says, coming back to the Eved aspect, the Braisa says, if you indirectly deafen the Eved, indirectly, by scaring him, by banging against the wall, whatever, the Torah says, only kiyake ish, the Torah says, if you hit the eye or the tooth directly, the Torah says, then he goes out free. If it was indirect, he's not going to go out free.
Does it make a difference if the master's intention was to damage him later?
Well, the Gemara is going to talk about that later. We're not going to get there.
Today's secular court, though, in the States, they would.
They have a whole different system.
That's a different system, right? It's a different system, but it would be obligated. It would not be, even indirect, would be obligation to pay damages, you think?
In today's civil law, if you drive a getaway car, okay, from a bank robbery.
Oh, and you didn't actually steal the money, but you helped them get away.
But you drove either a murder,
accessory
to the crime. Okay, you're guilty as much as the guy who murdered or stole.
Yes, yeah.
Okay, but in Torah law, it's not true. Okay. If a guy murders somebody, and I, in the biblical times, give him the horse to ride away, or I drive him away in the car, I'm not saying you're a tzaddik, but halachically, they're not tried as a murderer.
That at least, I mean, from my perspective as someone who's trying to learn this, the Torah, to me, actually makes more sense there.
Because two guys can go in intending to rob, and one of them can even tell the other one, look, nobody gets hurt. We're just stealing money. And the other guy says, the heck would you want? And he shoots somebody. In Goyish Allah, they're both guilty.
Right, right. In Torah law, because Torah law, you're only responsible for the action that you did. If you murdered somebody, then you're liable. If you helped somebody murder somebody, for that matter, if let's say two people are standing there, and one guy says to them, give me a gun. Give me your gun. And you give him the gun, he shoots somebody. So in civil law, you're both guilty. In Torah law, the guy that gave the gun didn't murder him.
By the way, before when I said I don't get it to me, I'm not trying to put down...
No, I understand.
I'm just saying I don't get
it. We're trying to learn freedom of an evil from monetary laws. So if it's unintentional, we're saying...
No, not unintentional. Direct or indirect?
If it's indirect, you pay chetzah. And if it's indirect in terms of hurting the evil, we say nothing. Is there anything as chetzi freedom?
Yeah,
no. The Gemara is going to talk later.
It's not a parallel. Because in monetary, you do pay for something.
Where's the Gemara? The Gemara is going to discuss.
You're going to be obligated halfway.
Yeah, but the Gemara is going to discuss later what happens. Yeah, but the Gemara is going to discuss later what happens if two people own an Eved, partners in an Eved. And one guy knocks out his eye.
Oh.
Does he go free from both?
Free from both.
So he has two masters, yeah? Reuven and Shimon bought a slave partnership. Let's say one day he works for him, one day he works for whatever, yeah? And then one of them knocks out the eye. So he only goes out free from the guy that did it, not the other guy.